Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem. The Persian Empire's influence in the rebuilding of Jerusalem by Sandy Miller is a delve into ancient history of Israel, the Persian Empire's involvement in the restoration of the country. Taking the reader back into time, 100 years after Cyrus the Great commanded the Jews could return from exile in Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Later, various Persian kings that followed took charge of the rebuilding efforts by which the Jews became successful. The story, a wake-up call to living in a world divided by politics and religion. Sandy graduated from the University of Colorado, currently teaches the Bible as cultural history at Florida Gulf Coast University in Naples, Florida. She also conducts teacher training workshops to equip teachers with hands-on artistic methods and techniques to make Bible study both exciting and relevant. While having a strong love for the Bible, Sandy has also been an avid student of its philosophy all of her life. She's taught Bible classes in one form or another to every age group, from early childhood to senior citizens groups. Sunday schools, Bible camps, small discussion groups, and Bible workshops have been a big part of Sandy Miller's life. And back with us on This Week in America is Sandy Miller, author of Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem, the Persian Empire's influence in the building of Jerusalem. Sandy, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you back with us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
It is our pleasure, and we'll talk about this book specifically today. We'll mention Sandy's other book, and her website, Discussion Books by Sandy, has all of the information. You can order both of the books available there as well. Sandy, on this particular book, Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem, what was the inspiration, the motivation? Why did you write this book?
Well, I was reading Isaiah, and I discovered his prophecy that Jerusalem would fall, the temple would be destroyed, but that someone named Cyrus would rebuild it. That made me curious, and I followed the story to see what happened.
And then we are right along with you as you went on this research journey for the book. Did you find the prophecy actually happened?
Yes, it actually did happen. Cyrus conquered Babylon in 539 years before the Common Era, and he decreed that Jews exiled previously by Babylon could return to their homeland to rebuild. And that happened 200 years after Isaiah's prophecy.
What exactly did the decree say?
It said, and I quote, "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Israel. The people there are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem." End of quote.
You know, that's fascinating. Did the exiles go?
They did go, some of them, but many exiles had built prosperous lives in Babylon, and they were happy there, and they stayed. At Cyrus's direction, though, 42,360 Jews did return to Jerusalem with offerings from their neighbors to rebuild the temple. And that figure didn't include their slaves and flocks and herds and all of that.
Yes.
Kind of stuff.
A fascinating conversation with Sandy Miller. We're talking about her book, Rebuilding the Temple of Jerusalem, the Persian Empire's Influence in the Building of Jerusalem. The book available at the usual places. I'll send you to Amazon, the usual bookstores. Her book will be available there, published by Global Summit House. Their website is globalsummithouse.com. And of course, this and Sandy's other book and information on Sandy at her website, discussionbooksbysandy.com. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and I'll give you this several times throughout the conversation. Did Cyrus help them rebuild the temple then?
He provided lots of aid. He authorized cedar logs from Lebanon. There wasn't much wood in Judah, and any wood that they needed, they went to Lebanon for it. He sent financial aid, and he also sent 5,400 silver and gold temple vessels that had been plundered by Babylon for return to the temple at Jerusalem. These gold goblets and temple dishes were in the temple of Marduk, Nebuchadnezzar's god, showing that Marduk dominated the god of the Jews.
So did the Jews rebuild the temple?
Well, they did, but it took a while. There was great opposition from people living among the ruins of Jerusalem. Puppet officials had made a place for themselves right in the ruins. And when they realized the Jews were reclaiming their homeland, they fiercely opposed the rebuilding efforts. The temple wasn't completed during Cyrus's 9-year reign.
This is such a fascinating piece of history that Sandy really brings to life in her book. The book is Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem, again, available wherever books are sold. We'll give you that information as we continue the conversation. So then what happened after Cyrus was no longer the king?
Well, Cyrus's son, Cambyses, reigned for 8 years, and he extended the Persian Empire into Egypt, and he actually became Pharaoh of Egypt. The Egyptians worshipped their leaders as gods, their rulers, that is, and they married family members to keep the lines of deity pure. But the stress of being a god got to Cambyses. His wife was pregnant, and he kicked his wife, who was also his sister, to death. Later, he died, possibly, of a self-inflicted wound. Cambyses made no effort to help rebuild the temple.
After his reign, what happened then to the temple, since he really wasn't active in rebuilding it?
Well, Darius the First took Cambyses' place in 522 BCE. He wasn't actually a descendant of Cambyses or of family members. So he ended up fighting for his right to rule for a couple of years. But after that, he improved 1,700 miles of roads from Sardi to Susa, and those roads were patrolled by soldiers year-round for safety, and they had checkpoints and inns a day's journey apart. But he's especially noted for converting bartering of goods to a standardized coin-operated system.
Sandy brings this... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, he actually did a great deal to improve the lives of people in his realm.
Well, it sounds like it, that he really jumped in and helped a lot of people. The story unfolds in Sandy's book, Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem, the Persian Empire's Influence in the Building of Jerusalem. Sandy Miller is the author and our guest on the program. Impressed with Darius I, did he finally get the temple built?
He finally did. But that took a while, too. The prophet, after he'd been in the office or in the palace for a while, the prophet Haggai started agitating for getting that temple rebuilt. I guess he figured that after he'd kind of settled into his realm that he might be able to give the Jews some help. The Jews listened to Haggai, and on October 17th, 520 years before our common era by our calendar, they started working. The enemies came around asking, who gave you permission to rebuild this building? Well, Tatnai, the governor, a puppet governor, sent a report to Darius asking him to check to see if Cyrus really had decreed the rebuilding of the temple. But the builders kept right on working while they were waiting for an answer. And Darius replied that Cyrus did direct the rebuilding, and Tatnai was to assist the builders by paying expenses out of taxes paid to the king so that the work wouldn't be stopped. The temple was finished on March 12th, 516 years before the Common Era, almost 70 years after it was destroyed.
That was amazing. It took almost 7 years to rebuild. Is that the end of the story? Did it end there?
Well, no. 60 years later, there was a new king, and he was Artaxerxes I, and he sent Ezra, the priest, from where the exiles were in Babylon, with financial support to teach the law of Moses. Of course, the Persians were not Jews. They didn't follow the Jewish religion, but Artaxerxes sent him to teach the law of Moses, enforce that law, and administer justice, even to death if necessary. Apparently, Artaxerxes really wanted to establish law and order in Judah.
You know, it's an amazing story, and it's so well told. How long did it take you to do the research for this? I know when we talked about your previous book, Armageddon's Only Weapon is the Sword of Truth, that was a couple of years of research. How long did it take to research this book?
I really didn't pay any attention. It was easy to do. It was just a matter of following a lot of the prophets that were involved during the time of the Persian Empire. So it was just, it was interesting. The story was interesting. You know, so it didn't take any time at all.
Yes, I can tell your passion for learning this story, of telling the story, and you do it in such a way that's reader friendly. You can read the book and understand exactly what it is and who these characters are. And I'll go back just as we tie up the story here. Nehemiah plays a major role in this at the end in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Tell us how that unfolded.
Well, in March or April, 444 years before the Common Era, Artaxerxes I had a cupbearer, and his name was Nehemiah. He had been in exile in Babylon, and apparently he was from a prosperous, well-known family. because the cupbearer to the king is an important position, since he has to make sure the king doesn't get poisoned. Anyway, Nehemiah was going around with a long face in when he was serving the king, and they weren't supposed to do that by Persian law. So Artaxerxes asked him why he was sad when he obviously wasn't ill, and Nehemiah told him that the Jerusalem, the walls are in ruins, and the gates have been burned, and our people are without hope, and why wouldn't I be feeling sad? So Artaxerxes said, well, what do you want me to do? And Nehemiah asked if he would send him there to rebuild the walls, because without walls, the city was defenseless against their enemies, and they had plenty of enemies. Well, Nehemiah was a savvy director. I guess he learned a lot from working for the king, and he assigned a section of the wall to people that lived right near it. Oh. So each person had a personal interest,
yes,
in completing their portion. So against concentrated opposition, Nehemiah's workers, half of them actually just were waiting for somebody to start fighting with them, and the other half were working on the reconstruction. And even the ones working on the reconstruction had a sword in there on them and a tool as well, and they all worked from dawn to starlight, but they finished that wall in 52 days on October 2nd, 440 years before the Common Era.
What an amazing story, and you tell it so well and write about it so well. It's very visual as you tell it. I can see them with basically a sword in one hand and a tool in the other in finishing the wall there. It's such a story of determination. Are there lessons that we can learn from that, contemporary lessons that maybe in this era where we seem to be fighting everybody, maybe there's can pull us together, some collaboration would work right now for us?
Well, I thought when the thing that impressed me, since Iran is in the news so much as an enemy of Jerusalem, as of the Jews, and I just realized how instrumental the Persian Empire, the Iranians, were in rebuilding the land of Judah. And the fact that Judah, that Jerusalem and Judah is a viable civilization today, a vibrant, viable situation, civilization, certainly is partly because of the Persian Empire and its rebuilding of Jerusalem and Judah.
There are some powerful lessons there. The book is Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem, the Persian Empire's Influence in the Building of Jerusalem, by Sandy Miller, the author and our guest on the program. The publisher is Global Summit House. Their website is globalsummithouse.com. The book marketed by Global Summit House as well, a publishing and marketing company that caters to the author's needs. The book is at Amazon, all of the usual places, and information you can order at Sandy's website, discussionbooksbysandy.com. The other book we talked about, Armageddon's Only Weapon, is The Sword of Truth. You can order both books there, get more information. And if you go to our archives, you'll be able to find that interview we did with Sandy on the other book. You do such a nice job of taking an aspect of history. Sometimes we know a little bit about it, but not a whole lot, and you bring it to life. I love the curiosity you bring to the research and your writing. What are you working on now? Is there another project that that you're working on?
Well, the most recent one has been the Book of Hebrews, because it's a hard book to understand. And I prepared it, and I've taught it. And so it really is in book form. I'm hoping to get a publisher that is interested in a series, because I have a library of books, of classes that have been class tested, and they are really interesting aspects of the Bible.
Well, and it's interesting, I mentioned at the beginning all of the classes that you teach and have taught for years, college level, young people in Bible school, senior citizens, teaching people like myself so that we understand this. And taking these topics, that's a great focus group, isn't it? It gives you a chance to see how they respond. You can maybe hone your presentation a little bit to capture their attention. That's great. That's great research just in presenting it and seeing the reaction.
And it really is a good way to get feedback of areas that need to be strengthened and, you know, things that need further research. It's a really good way to write a book.
Well, and you take something that, again, maybe we don't know a lot about, or it's difficult for most people to explain, so we don't spend a lot of time dealing with it, and you present it in such a way that we understand that, do such a remarkable job, and I hope you're able to do that with the new books, and we can talk about it as well. Our guest on the program, once again, has been Sandy Miller. The book is Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem, the Persian Empire's Influence in the Building of Jerusalem. Her other book is Armageddon's Only Weapon is the Sword of Truth, that we talked about on the program. All of these and much more information at Sandy's website, discussionbooksbysandy.com, published by Global Summit House, their website, globalsummithouse.com. Of course, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Sandy, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Time goes by so quickly, but we learn something during the course of the presentation, even though it's short. And your books are like that too, aren't they? They're concise, they get right to the point, and we understand fully what it is you're talking about. Fascinating conversation today. Thank you for being with us once again on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
It is a pleasure and look forward to doing it again. Sandy Miller, our guest, the book Rebuilding the Temple at Jerusalem. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.